We got no booth man tonight. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Club. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Pete, and Justin. Yeah, Comic Club. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first Comic Club of the new year. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And as you might have noticed,
real Don Pardo over here.
One of our New Year's resolutions was to get rid of Boothman. Instead, we got Pete, who doesn't know the name of the show.
I don't know what the name of the show is. The problem is when you drink before you do stuff, it's going to affect how you speak.
It's a great life lesson for everyone.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, guys, I don't know if you're listening to this at home. Temperature, I'm sure, gets through to you. It is very cold here in New York.
Freezing. Yeah.
But these audience members have been awesome enough to come out. We're very excited to have them there.
Yeah.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah! Thanks for coming out, guys.
As a way of warming yourself up.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
clapping
a polar
is...
vortex out there.
Yep. Right straight out of a comic book.
I know, right?
And frost giants abound.
Yeah, definitely.
It's New Year. New big changes for everybody.
Yeah, New Year's resolutions. Uh-huh. Did you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
Mine was that you would have a baby this year.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on that. I'm going to have a baby this
year.
You're congratulations.
On it? Nice.
So that's going on.
Cool.
I'm excited.
That was mine, so I already accomplished it.
I'm excited for the due date because it's July 24th, which is one day before my birthday.
Oh!
Maybe Zalvin will have a little me.
That's not how birthdays work.
Oh, that's not how it works. No.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If the baby comes out and is like, fuck Spider-Man, I'll know it's you.
Yeah.
You'll know it's him. A little piece of Pete's soul has crept into your child. What a nightmare.
Speaking of nightmares, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight.
It's not a good intro?
Okay,
nice
I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight.
Not a nightmare.
Man, you don't know the name of the show.
He is the co-creator and co-host of the amazing Moon Show, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Wallace!
Yeah, Bob! Welcome to the show, sir.
Bob, come on down, Bob.
All right.
Welcome. Hello.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for coming on. I want to just say...
You're very welcome.
Yeah, just bear with us. We're kind of getting our sea legs here, it feels like.
I know.
We've had a couple
weeks.
It's the beginning of year eight.
Year eight.
Yeah, year eight. We're still working out the kicks of the show.
Yeah.
Well, what about you guys? You've been doing the moon.
Yes? Congratulations, guys, on 7 years.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's quite a milestone.
You're very welcome. And, when you read books, sometimes the first thing you want to do is hear other people talk about it or talk about it with other people. So you guys provide that service for people with no friends, maybe.
No, that's nice. Wow.
Hey, don't say that
Zing,
to our listeners.
So Zing, listeners.
Congratulations to the three of you. And thank you for continuing to do the show.
Oh, yeah, thank you. We're starting to get the seven-year itch, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm stretching out with other podcasts.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Actually,
I've been messing around with a bunch of much younger podcasts.
Younger podcasts. I got a big podcast car. I don't know how that works.
Huh?
What?
Oh, like that's a midlife crisis.
I see. I'm sorry. Pete and I actually were talking about doing another. No, don't tell them.
Yeah, don't talk about it.
All right. So you've been doing the Moon Show for 5 years.
Yes. It's actually just called The Moon, which is the best running joke on the show. People always call it The Moon Show, and then on stage we try and correct them, and it doesn't work. But, it's called The Moon. It's a variety show, and we actually just finished 5 years.
Ooh,
that's amazing.
Congratulations to you,
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. It's actually, we began the show in January of 2009, so it's been exactly 5 years.
Wow.
So you guys, it's a variety show, but you've actually had a bunch of comic book people on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's a variety show that's very much fueled by comedy.
Nice.
But part of that variety could be, you know, 1 week a juggler, 1 week a band. And oftentimes we have live comic readings, which is a format that's more and more popular in New York anyways, where people read their own work panel by panel, and we project those panels behind them. And sometimes, especially in the case of more shy creators, which is often the case in comic books, we provide the voice acting for the characters in those comics.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
So who have you had on?
We've had James Romberger and his son Crosby. They put out a book this year called Post York, which includes a single, a rap single, as a final back page. So we had Crosby perform the song on the single, and we had a projector projecting the comic kind of onto him. He's wearing a white jacket, and the comic is dialogue free pretty much, so it worked.
That's awesome. Ooh,
that's cool.
Now, something we were talking about a little bit before the show, because we're here in a bar in New York.
Yeah.
You don't drink.
I don't drink.
That was a weird setup, Zalvin. We're a bunch of alcoholics. What's your deal?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that would have gone over a little bit better had we not been in New York where everybody kind of drinks. But it's, I don't drink, but coincidentally enough, that happened, like I told you before the show, roughly 25 months ago.
Approximately.
But, actually, I sort of picked up comics as a replacement addiction. And because I think I had been reading comics right before I picked up drinking around the time I was in college. And then when I decided I had to, stop, comics kind of just came right back. Like, I'd forgotten how to live, and I sort of picked up from where I left off. And comics
so sort funny.
Of filled in there and, like, took all of that, extra disposable income and time. But they're a lot more positive and
yeah,
no hangover,
productive and less hangover. Although you do still stay up all night reading, so
that's
sometimes
true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You can have a real reading hangover.
You can have an incredible reading hangover because you start the night with like a stack of 8 trades, and you're like, maybe I'll read 2 of them, and you get through the whole stack. Yeah. And the sun's coming out, and you're like, I got to go to the store. The store opens at 8 a.m. I think I can make it.
It's important, though, to note, don't read and drive.
Please.
It's really,
please.
It can get you into some big trouble.
RUIs were very big over the holiday.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, especially when you're out there on the 18-wheeler, maybe at like 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday night, and there's the urge to check the iPad that's next to you on the empty passenger seat.
Like, what happens in Civil War?
Doesn't the DC releases come out in like 30 minutes?
Yeah.
I can just press the button real
quick.
Come
on, I can just read the latest Forever Evil. It's not a big deal.
Is evil still going on?
It's forever.
It's forever. It's forever, man.
It's forever evil.
It's new evil.
Yeah.
New 52 varieties.
So when you decided to switch from one to the other, what was the first comic you picked up?
Oh, that's a good, very good question. Saga, I think.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
that'll
nice.
Get you.
Yeah,
that'll
and
get
the
you.
Massive at the same time.
Strong.
Wow.
That's like a liquor strength.
Yeah, man. You really went hard.
Yeah, that's a hard drinking. That's a Jägermeister.
Yeah.
You know, when I started drinking in college, my first drink was 151. So.
Oh, God.
Jeez,
God. Oh, you go big.
It was the same thing.
It's all or nothing with you.
Saga and the Massive are the Bacardi 151 of single issue.
That's
going to
be on a book jacket someday.
Yeah.
So, totally serious question, though. Do you ever get the urge to drink and go and read a comic book instead?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
Yes.
Cool.
That's a good
comics are making you better. That's pretty cool. That's
That's, I don't know. That's just sort of, I'm always, it's also one thing that's helpful is just talking about it all the time. Like not really shying away from the opportunity to discuss it because chances are if you avoid talking about it, the opportunity will more easily present itself to back.
Well, if you ever need it, my apartment is like a comic book distillery.
Ooh.
I have thousands of comics in stacks around my apartment.
Well,
so it's a real beer barrel.
That sounds like something. Maybe I'll have to do a brewery tour.
Yeah, oh man, it's fun.
If it's okay with your
fiance. Sampling room is great. Yeah. It's my bathroom, but
he has a rotating flight of comics. check out.
Speaking of, congratulations! I heard you're engaged.
I did recently get engaged.
Wow.
November. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
And how does she feel about the distillery that is now surrounding her life?
Well, funny you ask. We still don't live together.
Okay.
And she doesn't come to my apartment.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
Yeah, she doesn't like to sit on my throne of comics where I read my comics.
You guys are going to work out real well.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to eventually have to
grow up.
Okay, okay.
Hey, watch yourself.
Thing.
Yeah. Throwing it out there.
That is true, because it's going to come to a point where it's her or the comics. Mm. And I have just engaged myself to her, so I don't know if I could engage myself to comics.
Well, if I might throw this out there, Bob made a very brave step of moving from alcohol into comics.
Right.
Uh-huh. What if you moved from your fiance and love into comics?
Yeah, exactly. Comics are always there for you, all right?
Oh, that sounds like a really smart choice. I can't wait to give birth to my tiny comic book family.
Yeah.
After I have sex with comic books for the rest of my life.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's
no,
pretty
I know.
Great. Can't lie. I have one already and another one on the way. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Congratulations. That's gross.
So...
And you're not going to be able to resell any of those. They're not even near mint.
Be realistic. You're not going to be able to resell your comics.
Pete still bags and grades his comics.
I do.
Because he's insane.
Yep.
Right. I concede that you bag and board your comics. Fact remains. I think you may not be able to resell those comics.
No, we'll see, my friend. We will see. Don't you...
We
holes
will
in
see.
My retirement plan.
Yeah, Pete's going to retire on those comics or just eat cat food. When he's so we'll see what
we'll
he's
see.
Doing.
We'll see what happens.
In 10 years.
So, Bob, the moon is on hiatus right now, but when's it coming back?
I guess we're technically on hiatus just because the end of the year we did a big musical blowout, and which required the acquisition of new skills and all of these things to pull off. So, yeah, we just, I think... all just woke up yesterday.
Nice.
So there aren't any current
it
plans.
It is January
but
6th. I'm just
it is January 6th. But, we're going to have a lot to look forward to in 2014. And you can go to themoonshow.com.
That's confusing.
You should take show
out. Exactly. Yeah. That's where all the confusion comes from.
The internet.
Our Twitter handle and our URL, I'll say the moon show, and then people come and we're just like, it's just the moon.
Yeah. Our web address is comicclub.com. That must be what's confusing you, Pete.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
It's not, by the way. Don't go to that.
Boy, this is a confusing show. I love that.
Sure. Speaking of confusing, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah. We strive for clarity in the stack, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we liked over the past couple of weeks because we've been away for a while.
We have been
good
away.
Good or bad for those. Pete, let's move over to you for our first pick. Sentimental pick for this particular group here, Lock and Key Alpha, number 2 from IDW Comics. Pass this over here. You can take a look at it.
Thank you.
Now, Pete, you want to talk about this book a little bit?
I'm not going to lie. I cried when I read this book.
Bullshit.
No, I did.
Did you capture your tears in tiny vials? Because I want to see them.
No. No, why would I do that?
You're lying.
Yeah, because I don't believe you.
What? It was a very... very touching ending, especially the part with the dad got me all choked up. That was
very
amazing.
Nice. Very nice.
Very quickly, for those of you who are not reading Lock and Key, and you absolutely
should. It's something we
talked about, I think, pretty much since the beginning of the show.
Yep. Definitely. And the beginning of the series. Yeah. The series and the show started about
and
the same time.
And this has been our favorite series on this show.
For a long time, it was the only comic we ever agreed on.
Yeah.
That we liked. So, I think it's brought us closer together. Mm-hmm. I mean, not close, but closer. We still don't see each other.
If you never read it, it's a horror comic that also has a strong undercurrent of, I don't know, humor?
Love.
Love, emotion. It runs the gamut of pretty much everything. Kind of dark fantasy, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Also, Gabriel Rodriguez, who did the art, is brilliant. Joe Hill, who wrote it, is brilliant. And this... ties it up, I would say, completely satisfyingly.
Yeah.
It's a true epilogue to the story because it really just deals with the aftermath without introducing a bunch of new elements. It just really, like, we follow the characters as they sort of go about, set up to go about the rest of their lives. And it's just great. The whole series is fantastic. If you listen to this podcast or see this show, you know that we love this book. If you're not reading it, you're insane.
Also, I would just like to point out one of the things I really loved about this book from the beginning is the mesh of writing and art. Issue after issue, they've pushed the kind of forms, playing with different panels, having different kind of themes to issues. The Calvin and Hobbes one was amazing.
Yeah. Very nice.
They did one where it was just like a giant fight scene where they had giants. It wasn't a lot of talking.
Which
it was
like?
Just... they really pushed stuff. They really kind of did an amazing job of working together. And although it was the same from start to finish, they really it's an amazing journey.
And
now,
one thing.
Because we're total dicks, last night Bob read the first 4 issues of Lock and Key.
Right. That is true.
And today we made him read the last issue.
Sons of bitches.
Missing the 30 or so issues in between.
Wow.
So I'm curious, what did you think of it?
What'd you think?
Well, honestly... It worked because.
Nice.
I don't know. The reading last night, the thing that stuck out with me is the scene where the main character is sort of sitting in his old house, looking off out the window, and you see flashbacks that take place in that same room many years earlier, and you get all this character information, all this plot information, without changing even the camera position.
Yeah.
For a couple of pages. And it's really good because as a reader, you want all the backstory like immediately so you can get into the mm-hmm. fun conflict and adventure. And they managed to do that right away with Lock yeah. and Key. And then in this final issue, they go back and almost do a panel for panel kind of revisit under yeah. even darker circumstances. And then they kind of like bring you back apparently to the very beginning. And it seems like a fitting way to end the series. I didn't get the middle.
Yeah.
Go back. Let's go back.
There's still time.
Yeah. I think I will still read it because it seems like one of those books that could be your first comic book. It's something you can pick up with no foreknowledge and just immediately start following. And
yeah.
there's like low panel counts per page. It's like really easy to read and
yeah.
fun.
I mean, I would say pretty definitively now that it's over, this is a series along with Sandman, Why the Last Man, yeah. Watchmen, things that you can hand to people and say, yeah. here, you want to read comic books? Check this out.
Hey, you want to read comic books?
Hey.
Hey, you buddy. On the street.
Hey, come
hey
over
you,
here.
The ugly
hey.
Kid. Come over
hey,
here.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you yeah. jest, but people do want to read comic books.
I know. That you
no,
are
no,
right.
But they probably don't want to be yelled at on the street.
Yeah.
You're right, but that's part of it. They're alienating. They're yeah. alienating and,
comic
and
books
intimidating
people?
Comic book and yeah. comic book people.
Yeah,
what?
So, I'm inspired by you. I'm just going to start going to bars and be like, "Hey, put that beer down, asshole.
Pick up
a comic." Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's quite a quest. I don't know if it'll work. One other exciting thing in here.
I would like to say I've been nervous about this ending for a really long time.
Nervous.
You guys make fun of me for saying nervous all the
you
time.
You say nervous.
I'm a nervous fellow.
So
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't believe that. I feel like, what is that? How does that affect you, your nerves, your nervousness about comic books? Does it make you like not leave the house? Or?
Yeah, do you have a tonic or get the vapors or what?
Yeah, exactly. And then you are often fainting into different people's arms.
Yeah.
Sometimes me.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. That's real awkward in front of everybody.
Your fainting spells?
I couldn't be happier with this ending. I was really nervous because it's very dark and anything can happen, but I felt like they did such an amazing job with this ending, honoring the stuff before and not just killing people off. I mean, some people die. I don't want to spoil,
cool,
be specific.
Cool.
But they do it in such a way that... it doesn't undercut anything just for shock value. The writing just does an amazing job with it. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Kind of a sweet ending in
yeah.
a way, which is very surprising for something that hasn't pulled a lot of punches yeah. along the way.
And I've been talking to a lot of people about this book.
Yelling
forcing. I've been forcing people to read this thing against their will.
How was your night in jail, by the way?
You know what's funny about jail is
great.
They let you read.
Everybody loves comics.
Yeah, everybody does like comics in jail. I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, I've been forcing people to read this, and some people
were
a little...
You're sentenced to 30 issues of hard labor.
Some people were disappointed in how happy the ending was. They wanted something darker.
Those people have a hole in their heart.
Stupid. Yeah.
Missing soul people. One other exciting thing in here is that they thank Alex, Pete, and Justin on the dedication page.
No.
Yeah. Say what?
Wow.
Which was super nice.
That was
really awesome.
It was when I read that, I was.
Of the key.
Yeah. It was,
that was great. Thank you to Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, who are
sakes.
Almost definitely not listening to this podcast.
Yep.
But we appreciate it anyway. We appreciate being a small part of that journey. I want to mention, you guys both died. Last issue.
I didn't die.
You died. You got crushed by a boulder.
A rock fell near me.
On you. Huh? It was on you.
Not necessarily.
No.
You got crushed by a boulder. You got ripped in half.
Split
Dr. Zalbin,
half.
My character from the fourth volume, still
Wait
out
a minute.
There somewhere.
You guys are in the comic?
We are in this
You'll
comic.
You'll get to it.
Fuck off.
You'll get to it. Yeah, swear.
Which hasn't colored our thoughts on the comic book at all.
Yeah, we are completely objective.
Yep.
Yes.
It's like how Michelangelo's David, like, he liked Michelangelo after he did that statue, but it's not like he, like, wasn't a fair objective critic of it.
Yeah.
But I would say if I didn't like this comic, I really wouldn't have a problem saying it.
Yeah. You really? That's terrible.
No, I mean,
you into it.
Yeah, but I'm a pretty honest guy. Like, I have no problem sharing how I honestly feel about things.
I've never noticed that about you.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
as somebody that doesn't have an avatar in the Lock and Key world, I can honestly say that you should read it.
That's nice.
He's untrustworthy.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
That may be true.
Let's move on with our second pick. This was Justin's pick. Origin 2, number one from Marvel Comics, continuing the secret origin of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Now, for this volume, Kieran Gillen has taken over the writing duties. What did you think about this book?
Well, he didn't have to do a lot of work in this one. There's not a lot of writing in this. A lot of pictures.
Right. You still have to write all the work. You have to describe what happened. It's not like...
I don't think that's how writing works.
Well, have you ever watched a movie? Have you ever heard of a silent film? Did anyone write those?
Nobody wrote those.
Oh, then that's your insane.
I'll tell you, if you look at a script for a silent film, the only thing it says is, go nuts, guys.
Charlie Chaplin, go nuts.
Yeah, I mean, look, page one, panel two, there's a picture of a deer, there's a tree in the background.
Nobody wrote that.
Nobody wrote that, somebody drew that.
There's literally a script in the back of the book where it says what he wrote for the book.
There's not a taxi cab, there's not a spaceship, there's not a woman. He decided a deer. And a tree in the background.
Right. The artist did, not the writer.
That is not how comic books work.
It's a collaboration.
Here, there's literally a script in the back of this. Here, I'm going to give you a homework assignment for the next 5 minutes. Read the script in the back here.
I don't like reading.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, look, right there. It says, go nuts, guys.
With the panel.
Wait, hang on.
It says, don't draw a taxi or a woman. Draw a tree and a deer.
Exactly.
The whole pack moves into the cave.
Don't draw a taxi or a woman. Otherwise, all
good. What the artist did. That's not writing. He's just recapping.
The artist
drew it, and then the writer was like, yeah, what he's doing.
You've read too many comic books.
No.
Use the time-space continuum. It goes forward.
That's very charitable.
I'm sorry. You think that the artist turned in a bunch of work to editors. They're like, I don't get this without words. Yeah. Write a script.
Yeah, that's not how scripts work.
And he was like, cool, I'll write what the pictures are.
Yeah.
I'll write what the pictures are.
Right? Because once it's drawn, then you can just write what's supposed to go there.
Yeah, wow. That's great. That's great.
The craziest thing I've ever heard.
Boy, all of great criticism of Lock and Key sort of falls to the wayside, given your recent revelations about your understanding of comic books.
No, but seriously, let's talk about this. Origin, the first one was amazing. I thought this one, the art is really different.
Isn't it weird, though? It's the same art? No?
No, it's
no,
different.
It's, no, oh, it's a okay. different artist.
Yeah. This is Adam Kubert.
But what's weird is the way Wolverine's drawn, it's like matching the kind of like the wolves and stuff like that. So it's weird to see Wolverine kind of look beautiful, if that makes sense in ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's
weird to fall in love with a comic book character.
Yeah, it's weird.
I agree with you, though. Like, what I like about this is we're seeing Wolverine in his sort of beast mode, and he's not just like a psychopath. I feel like so much of that is when he's like, oh, he lived with the beasts, and he's just murdering everything. And this, he's like part of a wolf family, which I think is really nice. I love Mr. Sinister. There seem to be alluding that Mr. Sinister is the villain here. I love him as a villain, and he hasn't been in very much lately. So I'm excited to see that.
What did you think about this book?
Actually, this is one of the ones that I didn't get a chance to read beforehand. I just kind of looked through it and absorbed these images that apparently appeared out of nowhere.
Well, feel free to write some words to it, because that's what the writer does.
She
just looks at pictures and writes.
Maybe I'll just write on with a
Sharpie
what Kieran Gillen decided not to do.
I don't think Kieran Gillen's even a person. I think it's just like...
Yeah, actually, I do like Kieran Gillen a lot.
His first pass was actually like, I'm a wolf. Wolf, wolf, wolf. Wolfing, wolfing. Here I go as a wolf.
Yeah.
And they're like, eh.
I mean, to be too controversial, but I would submit to you, Pete, that writing an issue without a lot of written dialogue is maybe harder.
Ooh, and, in your face, Brian Michael Bendis.
He does a couple. He pauses for moments of silence sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, those
are the advertisements in between.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry, other books.
This is a beautiful. well-written Wolverine comic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's necessary as a comic book, as an origin story.
Well, I think...
Here, just to give a little bit of background for those of you who haven't read Origin, the whole idea of Origin was for decades, nobody had told the origin story of Wolverine. He hadn't had his memory. He couldn't remember what happened to him when he was a kid. He got his memory back, and so finally they told the story of what he was like as a kid, how he first got his claws, that his real name was James Howlett. All of these different shocking revelations and big things.
Which became the movie.
Yeah, but whether you like the story or not, it definitely made a very good case for its existence.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's a good comic book, so that makes the case for his existence, but I don't know why it needs to be Origin 2.
Well, I think I would wait and see what's going to happen, because I feel like what this the idea of this comic is it fills in the gap between his time in the wild and when he emerged from the Weapon X program, and the Barry Windsor Smith series. I think that's the gap we're filling in his life here, which makes sense, because he's not Wolverine yet, because he doesn't have the adamantium. He isn't the character that we know. He's sort of just a beast here. So, like, I think that's an important... I would call that an origin, too, a second origin. It's where the second part of his origin that made him the character that we
you
know
would call Origin 2 a second origin?
I would.
Controversial stance.
That's a Roman numeral?
Well, because... Oh,
I thought it was called Origin...
This
origin
is Origin
Castle.
2 because a book called Missing Piece of the Narrative Timeline wouldn't sell.
Yeah.
Maybe it would. What? Right. Maybe it would.
Yeah.
It's 2014. We're very metacognitive. Maybe it would.
Yeah.
I think all
so.
Comics
Marvel
should be titled,
presents.
Please try this comic out. That would save everybody
a lot
of time.
That's what Image pretty much does.
Yeah,
they put a picture of their writer's face like at his desk and is like, maybe you want to read what he's...
Give me a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever get the sense with those Image ads that they are slowly killing off writers and artists, and they're like, who's next?
Yeah.
It
like
is
on
aggressive.
Game of Thrones, who's going to die this week?
Yeah.
Who's
going to
die on Image Comics?
Yeah.
Cool. So generally, you guys would say pick this up, right?
I liked it greatly, yeah.
Yeah.
What? Wait, I thought you liked it.
I did. I agree with Zalbin a little bit. I wasn't like, holy shit, this is awesome.
You're Mr. Wolverine.
I know. It's just it's a beautiful comic, and it's just one little fight that he gets in with a polar bear.
Oh, sure. Then it's a continue. There's going to be another issue.
I know. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, if you're looking for a well-drawn comic where Wolverine fights a bear, I think you can pick up this issue.
No, pick up Frank Miller's Marvel Comics Presents Wolverine in his very own limited series. Because that bear fight, I mean, that's the one, guys.
Yeah. And check out our list of great bear fights online.
Yeah, it's at comicbook.com.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Still not our website.
Right,
cool. Last one. This is my pick. Bad Blood, number one.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
What?
You sounded like you were unsure of.
Yeah, you were like, number one?
Nah, my voice is breaking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's that second child puberty.
It happens.
Congratulations.
Double puberty. It's pretty exciting.
Double puberty? Yeah. Double pubes.
I was really hoping
your sideburns are getting bigger and bigger.
Gross. Face pubes?
Okay.
Gross.
Let's go back.
Let's talk about Bad Blood, number one. I almost hesitate to say anything about this book because the first half of the book is about a guy and his best friend, and one of the guys has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
It's an incredibly emotional, really incredibly drawn story. Halfway through it,
Sad. A
twist happens that completely turns around the story. And I will spoil it for you because I want you guys to read the book. But a vampire attacks and tries to kill him and immediately is like, I'm burned by the cancer inside of you, gets pissed off about it and says, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to kill your entire family.
Yeah.
And so he's the only guy, this cancer survivor, or this guy who's dealing with cancer, who is slowly dying. He knows vampires exist. He finds out the vampires are probably going to take over the world, and he's the only one that can stop them.
Yeah.
And it has.
So far, he's the only one.
Yeah. And the action in it is great. The art in it is great. The characterization is great. And it's such a cool, exciting, different setup.
Yeah. When I opened up to the first page, it reminded me a little bit of Francis Manapul's Flash. It's like it's a painting. It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
the artwork's unbelievable, and that immediately had me. But then the story starts off So heartbreaking, so powerful. Yeah, it's just a fantastic comic from start to finish.
Yeah, very quickly, this is written by Jonathan Mayberry, and the art and lettering is by Tyler Crook.
Tyler Crook.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought this was a really nice issue. I was the vampire is drawn very differently than most vampires. He's like a weird old man with like a shark mouth, which was cool. I thought I was like, oh, this is definitely a different kind of book.
Yeah, what'd you
Sarlacc think about? Mouth. What was the name of that movie with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50. It seems like this is a kind of a mashup of 50-50 with Breaking Bad and sort of True Blood all working together.
Holy shit.
And it's because, honestly, I could have read the first act of this comic, like this issue, for a lot longer. That story between his best friend who refuses to, you know, give in to dark circumstances. He's just like, we're going to, you know, just continue to live despite or regardless of whether you're getting better or not. And that was awesome. That kind of had me. And then they introduced the supernatural element, and it's like sort of disappointing at first because I wanted more of the human story.
Yeah. No.
But then to see how there was some more thoughtful ideas at work, like they're going to go through the vampire thing a little bit differently. And that makes me want to keep reading.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Cool. So if you're looking for something new and exciting, pick that up.
Try this comic out, maybe.
There you go. And that's it for the stats.
Yeah!
All right. Our next section is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to me.
Yeah! Oh, really? Yeah. This is a real DIY show so far.
Sure is.
Beats the announcer?
Unfortunately, was trapped on a train in Philadelphia or something like that.
That's incorrect, but close enough.
Yeah, he's doing sort of like an under siege to dark territory.
Yeah, exactly. He's living his life as the villain in them.
Who are we talking about? Booth guy?
Boothman.
Yeah, Boothman, if you guys have any questions for us, they can be about literally anything having to do with nerd culture, geek culture, comic books, anything like that. Raise your hand. I'm going to come over to you, and you're going to get a stack of free comics. So anybody.
Think of
any
one
questions
very
whatsoever.
Quickly.
Yes.
Great.
You, sir, who I do not know.
This is a question for Pete.
Oh, man.
Oh,
Pete,
shit.
If you got drawn into Superior Spider-Man, would you read it?
Nope.
Yeah.
Even if you were drawn into it?
You didn't even think for a
second.
Really?
Nope. No way.
All right. So for those of you, this is your first time at the show, Superior Spider-Man, Peter Parker was killed off. Dr. Octopus is in his brain and basically trying to be a hero, but in a supervillain type way. Pete is an idiot and won't read it.
No, you did. Why? It's upsetting to me that we're all on board with this.
This really well-written, well-drawn comic book?
We've talked about this at length.
Have we?
Yes.
Hold on. Can I chime in here for one second?
Sure.
I think my favorite ongoing storyline of Comic Book Club is just how angry you are and how you refuse to read it. Because I'm a
huge
fan.
I like that you call it a storyline.
It is. It's a running subplot. Because it will eventually end. We'll resolve this.
Yeah.
Eventually.
It's going to be over, and then maybe he's going to read it. I don't know.
What if you were drawn in, though, as like as the Punisher?
Oh,
great.
My God.
Yeah, Punisher's pretty good.
This is directly to Dan Slott. Can you draw Pete LePage in as Doc Ock Peter Parker's best friend? The Flash Thompson to the Doc Ock Peter Parker.
Won't read it.
Huh? You won't read it?
No.
What if he has a great life and has great tips for your personal life?
What about this? They don't change Spider-Man back to Peter Parker. He's still going to be Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body. But Doc Octopus, Peter Parker.
Doc
no. He comes up to the Pete LePage character and is like, "You're right. I am stupid.
There you
but
go.
But I'm going to keep doing this."
Or what if instead of what if Doc Ock's finally his consciousness finally leaves Peter Parker's, but Pete LePage's takes over Peter Parker's? So you would be Spider-Man,
no.
Would you? You wouldn't get behind that. You would. Pete LePage is Spider-Man. Pete LePage Parker.
No.
Good for you, Pete.
A comic called the Inferior Spider-Man.
Inferior. Oh, I was going to go with the assholic Spider-Man.
Yeah, the angry Spider-Man.
Angry Spider-Man. I love that.
Cool. We know you asked that question, so Pete's going to bring you some comics. Who else would like to ask a question? Raise your hand. You, sir, over there.
Now that Marvel is publishing Star Wars again, do you think they're going to have some cool crossovers like Guardians of the Galaxy or anything like that?
Oh, that would only make everyone angry.
So for those of you who didn't hear the news, the Star Wars comic book license has moved from Dark Horse over to Marvel Comics. They're probably not going to start stuff until about 2015 or so, around when the new movies start. We don't have any more details other than that. But what do you guys think? Would you like to see a Star Wars Marvel crossover?
You would, I mean,
no.
If it's on, yeah, all right. No is
really?
No.
Why?
But at the same time, like, if it's like Marvel has in-house, oh, we have some of the greatest characters of all time, just right here. Don't play with this stuff here. You own it, though. You can do anything you want with it. But don't play with any of this stuff. I mean,
the thing about it, it's like
time travel, first of all, because it's
a long time ago. Yeah, that's right. True. The thing is, though, like when that seems like one of those crossovers where it feels gross to read it, like sort of icky to read it. It's like when you ever read the Ultraverse, when the Marvel characters started showing up in the Ultraverse, it was like, oh, this is like a kissing your cousin. Doesn't make it's like something wrong here.
All right.
But Secret Wars was awesome.
Yeah, but that was a Marvel thing.
All right, how about this?
It's
written by Grant Morrison and drawn by Brian Hitch.
Somebody
actually
audience.
Literally just orgasmed in the audience. It was crazy. It was nuts. It was gross.
No, I don't think, I think those stories, it's like if I was telling you a story about my personal life and all of a sudden I started talking about like plot points from Die Hard, you'd be like, why are you doing that crossover? That's a crossover we don't need to see.
All right, how about Grant Morrison writes it, Brian Hitch draws it, and you get to be in it.
Oh, yeah, I love it then. I want to see it. I get to be a Padawan?
No, you get to be a droid.
A droid?
A droid, you're
Fuck
a droid.
Fuck you. I'm not a droid.
At least
you're
make a
droid.
A Bubba Fett or something.
You're an Ewok, Pete.
I mean, that makes sense.
Bob, you get to be a Jedi. You get to be a Jedi.
A Jedi?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, then yes.
Boop, 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 boop,
yes. Yo,
boop, 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 boop.
It's amazing that you know that. The old love dub.
Awesome. Well, there's your definitive answer on that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Raise your hand if you want to ask a question. Oh, boy. Guy in the back, come up here because my mic is taped down. Yes.
How can DC Comics save itself?
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Embracing question. Jesus is one way.
Yep. Crossing over with the Bible. Is that what you're saying?
Superbad versus Noah?
Yeah, exactly. I think they would team up eventually.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
They both have arcs, basically.
Yeah. Aquaman's like, don't part this sea. And he's like, I have to. And then they, oh, that's a different guy. Yeah. That was Moses, right?
Yeah. You're doing crossovers.
I'm waiting
together.
For the trade with the Bible, so I haven't really read it. Yeah. Yeah. Forever Jesus.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think? I mean, is DC in a position where it has to save itself? And if so, how can it save itself?
Well, I mean, there are some titles that are good there. I mean, you know, Scott Snyder's doing an amazing job on Batman. There's that.
That got a resounding from a guy.
Someone had a reverse orgasm in the audience.
Went back in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple. I mean, I buy DC Comics. There's some good stuff. It's not like all.
Yo,
you don't have to defend it.
You sound like we've accused you of something.
Yeah, like I
buy DC Comics. It's fine. It's
to be fair, Pete is the editor in chief of DC Comics.
Yeah, that's a real fall.
It's not in good shape.
Yeah. What do you think, Bob? How do you feel about DC right now?
Actually, Batman Incorporated ended, and that was like how I – that was my methadone. I got off DC. I did. That was it for me. I finished out the Morrison run, and then I jumped off the plane.
Yeah, DC's like some real brown acid right now.
It's a bad trip, man.
It's a bad trip, man.
It's a bad trip.
I think they need to change. I think they need to the Forever Evil crossover. I feel like is all of their bad choices crystallized, because it's just all these old continuity characters that we don't really like. We've already seen this storyline in a lot of ways, and it's this huge line-wide crossover where none of it really matters. And then the main title is continuing. I don't know anyone that's reading it really. I feel like it's all of their bad impulses. So I think they need to stop doing that and go back to just like telling individual good stories.
I think you're right. And if I want to answer the question honestly, like I think that is, you need to create an entry point that's not even more intimidating than what your comics
it's
were
so
before.
So backwards.
Because now you introduce new people to it in a way that's not like you know, in a way that you can actually attach yourself to, like we were talking about with Lock and Key. You pick it up, you read it, and you're in the story. You don't need to know, you know, all how it relates to every other title. That's not important.
Yeah.
I will agree with you guys. I think we talked about this probably on the last show about Wonder Woman, where the reason that title works is because it's so bonkers and it's not really connected to anything. It has its own art style, has its own story direction. You can pick it up and get right into it. That said, I will say I'm actually enjoying Forever Evil, at least the main title and the stuff that Geoff Johns is writing, just because of how crazy over the top it is. If you haven't read it, it's a evil Justice League from an alternate universe comes to the main universe, kills the Justice League, takes over the world, and now has said freed all the villains, and is like, hey, guys, just go crazy. And so you have an evil Superman who snorts kryptonite to get his powers and has his powers turned off by the sun, so he's pushed the moon in front of the sun so that he can have his powers all the time. So it's eternal darkness. And the only one who could stop them is Lex Luthor because they didn't invite him to the party.
What you've just described is a comic where the artist drew it and then wrote Go Nuts on it.
Yeah. Fair enough. You're going to get some free comics. I think we got one more pack. We have one more question. Anybody?
Anybody question.
At all? Any question about
personal,
anything?
Personal, impersonal.
Love advice?
Yeah, you guys want some love advice
from us? Movie questions? No? Nothing? Okay.
Numbers.
Oh, yeah, right over here. Tentative guy.
I can actually ask that of this man. Have they caught that coloring problem with the big Deadpool wedding image?
Wow, that's a very specific question.
Wait, we'll go over to this guy for a response.
I'll field this one.
Why, hello. Yes? What problem are you referring to?
Ooh, it's a dialogue, not a question.
The one where Artie and Leech's colors are reversed. Yes, that one was caught. I'm sure there's about 200-something characters, so I'm sure there's still another coloring problem. They are very.
Yeah, it was also very racist, Jordan.
See, honest, thank you, because that's the kind of question that I was expecting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So there you go. You're going to get some free comics, and that's it for your audience
questions.
Yeah! All right, guys, we're going to turn to our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
Woo! And in The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek, usually TV and movie stuff, but I think we can actually kick it off with a little bit of comic book news that happened today. I don't know the last time we've actually done comic book news, you guys.
In The Week in Geek, I think it's high time.
So Marvel announced their big event that's coming up for the summer. It's called Original Sin. It's written by Jason Aaron. It's all about somebody kills the Watcher, and then the heroes of the Marvel Universe have to solve a murder mystery to find out who killed the Watcher.
Wow.
And once the Watcher is killed, secrets come out, some of them bad, some of them good, and it's a race against time to find out who killed him before everybody's secrets are revealed.
Wait, so the Watcher holds everybody's secrets? So if you kill the Watcher...
Yeah, he's been watching everything.
What do you think? He keeps underneath his sash. Is there a bunch of secrets?
That's all he's been doing.
Well, I know he's the Watcher.
He's the Watcher.
Things,
yeah, he's also
but
the...
But if he dies, who gives a shit? It's not like he's...
Okay, do you remember there was a couple of Point One specials ago?
Oh, well, fuck that.
There was
that.
A story
no,
by Ed Brubaker
yes.
where a bunch of mysterious guys went into
In
the Watcher's...
Home. Moon base.
Thank you.
Home.
Sorry, when you say serious guys,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Just like spacemen, like
spacemen.
Regular humans who we don't know.
Non-masks.
Huh?
Non-masked people.
Non-masked people. They were just a bunch of dudes in a rocket.
Okay. Yep.
And they bring
stole some stuff from the Watcher's place and said, soon we're going to come back. So the presumption is those guys kill him.
Yeah.
Steal a bunch of secrets, start selling the secrets.
Oh, I remember that. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
He's not just the Watcher, he's the writer down of fucked up secrets.
Oh, so he's been keeping a blog.
Yeah.
And so if you kill him, the secrets are out.
Yeah, just like a regular blog.
Okay.
If you kill the blogger, all the secrets go on
the
internet.
Secrets go out.
Every blog you read, there's a dead person who originally wrote those as secrets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a publish switch on the internet that's tied to their
heart rate. Yeah. That's why the Huffington Post has killed hundreds and hundreds of people.
Oh, man.
That's a blog, right? So
sure.
It started that way, right? So this is great. I think this is great. I love it. It's just like good old-fashioned sort of seed to start the story and then go nuts with all the Marvel Universe stuff. See, now there's a crossover back to the DC thing. That is like, it's just a new idea. You introduce the character dies. These characters have to solve the problem. Make sense, simple, clean.
I agree. I think that any time that you see the watcher in the room, the tendency is usually to become uneasy. You're like, yeah. Fuck, yeah. What is he doing?
He showed up when I was on a date once, and I got the fuck out of there.
No, so nobody ever wants to see him, right? Because if he's there, some cosmic shit is about to go down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see what happens when somebody
Here's what I'm hoping happens. I'm hoping first issue, bunch of heroes, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, discover the dead body of the Watcher on the floor. They're like, oh, my God, somebody killed the Watcher. And they pause for a while, look around. They're like, well, he's not here, so it can't be important. And then they leave.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the series.
Yeah, I mean, who shows up when other important stuff happens? Like when the Watchmen
or
the Watcher.
The Watcher's
shit.
Death? I don't know. I thought I had something that was going to round off at the end. But
I like how you started it.
It was like a cartwheel.
Who would take over for a dead Watchman? Or Watcher, I mean.
The Watchman.
No. Easy answer.
Silver Surfer, probably.
Yeah, he's the herald of the
Watcher. Well, there's hundreds of Watchers, right?
I guess, technically. But we only know Uatu.
I can't be the only one who's not excited about this.
You're not excited?
No, I mean, the Watcher's dead. The guy sucked anyway. I mean, he just stood there and watched shit. What do I care if he lives or dies?
That's basically all you do.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. You just killed me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Ooh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Well, what a delayed dropping of the mic.
I tried to be nice about it, but it fell off the cushion.
I think it'll be cool because Jason Aaron's writing it. He's great. Pretty much a no-fail record at this point.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And like you said, it's an original idea. I'm excited to see how it plays out as an event.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Pete, I bet you'll read it, and I bet you'll like it.
I do love Jason Aaron.
There you go.
So another thing, let's move on to some movie news. This is something I know you hate when I bring this up. Pete asked me to bring this up on MTV News we broke today. Toad is going to be in Days of Future Past.
Holy shit. Toad fans.
Yeah.
Long-tongued fans of Toad. Buckle up. Your leader is.
So two questions about this.
Right.
One, too many mutants.
You think Toad's the tipping point? Toad is the tipping point
for
you.
Well, it's crazy that we're still finding out about mutants that are in this movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because Colossus was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And Toad is today. Is it going to be Ray Park?
No, it's not. It's a guy who's guest starring on the new season of Girls, and I've totally forgotten his name.
But Ray Park is Toad.
He's actually a Toad Man.
Yeah. Oh, good. That episode of Girls with the Toad Man in it.
It's
I have that
be
DVR,
great.
And I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Okay. Yeah, this sounds, I don't know. Cool. Too many mutants would.
Sure. I mean, here's my guess. I feel like if you have Toad in the movie, you have Mystique in the movie, you have Magneto, they're slowly moving forward to the timeline of the first movie. You'll probably see Sabretooth in there somewhere and some sort of setup of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants by the end. That's my guess.
Can you have too many mutants, Alex? Are you some kind of anti
mutant? Too many mutants?
Yeah.
Yup.
See, I told you.
Why couldn't
you
get Ray Park,
Mr.
is
Sinister.
My question.
What?
Mentioned Mr. Sinister earlier, and then you just acted very much like Mr. Sinister.
I am Mr. Sinister.
You are okay.
You guys, I've left
That's
clues
what I was
for
getting
7 years.
Yeah.
I have a diamond on my forehead.
Oh, yeah, we should have picked up on that earlier.
That was a major clue.
Yeah.
One other piece of movie news Pete brought up before the show that you wanted to talk about, Pete?
Oh, yeah, right. The big news about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently she's Kryptonian, and that's...
Nope. No.
No, because that's what they said in the news.
No. So, I don't know if you guys
I don't
have
think this is how they do it on, like, 60 Minutes. Hey, Morley Schaefer, do you have a news item? Yes. Wrong.
George Wallace is like,
I don't think so. Here's what happened in Syria, guys.
So, just in case you guys have heard this rumor, like Pete presented me before the show, and it was like, did you hear this fucking thing about Wonder Woman? That she's going to be Kryptonian in the movie?
That's
crazy.
A great impression of me, by the way.
Thank you very much. I'm working on it so I can do it with my new son.
You grew a little tiny beard when you said that.
So that's totally not true, in case you haven't heard. There was a guy who writes for a site called Batman on Film. He was posting up a bunch of rumors and saying, hey, here's what I kind of know about the movie. Here's what I don't know about Batman versus Superman. Somebody asked him a question about Wonder Woman and where her powers will come from. And he said, I have no idea, but if I was speculating, I would bet a month's pay on this happening. And from there, people were like, well, this guy is speculating. That must be true. And then it became rumors are saying that Wonder Woman is going to be a Kryptonian. So in case you hear that rumor, in case you see it anywhere, absolutely not true. Shut up, Pete.
All right. Well, good news then. That's good news.
Classic news slam.
I like how comic book movie news has turned into sports news. It's the same level of rumor and speculation now.
Well,
is it?
Comic books, much like sports, unless you're watching the game or reading the comic, not much happens.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
or watching
off
the movie.
But off the field, there still needs to be all this stuff to talk about because there's all these channels of communication that are for talking about it.
Yeah.
No offense, guys.
No, well, we are launching a 24-hour comic book news network, and it is expensive as fuck. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're kind of... You know, like news team.
Yeah, Dork Center.
Yeah, well, Dork Center.
If you ever need like 9 to 11 hours of content, you just let me know, all right?
Cool.
Hey, cool.
Cool.
Overnight.
All right, and that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah!
Okay, our next section is trivia, and for that we're going to turn over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity,
Delayed mic drop.
Opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you shy but brave. Come on.
It's all right.
You
raise your hand.
You put your hand up.
You have an awesome
fine.
Hoodie. Come on up.
Come on. It's okay. You
don't
need
to. You don't really need to. Here,
here,
come
here, over here.
Here.
Over here.
Come
over here.
Come
over
here.
The biggest thing to have is the courage to raise your hand.
That's
yes.
it. That's all. You've already won. What is your name? Sylvia, audience, Sylvia.
Hi.
Yep.
So how this is going to work, Sylvia, is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
You just got to get all three questions right.
All right.
And then you win $25. Okay? Cool. So I'm sure you've read Revelations number 1. It came out. No. Seriously. Sylvia, you're going to be fine.
All right.
You're going to be fine.
That's
really funny. So in Revelations number 1, which came out this week, but it was originally published by blank in 2005. Was it A, Dark Horse? Pick Dark Horse. Or is it B, Boom? Or is it C, God? So who originally published Revelations number 1? Is it A, Dark Horse, which is the correct answer?
Yeah, I can figure that out.
All right, Dark Horse is correct. Congratulations.
Nice. I will say there's a lot of religious underpinnings that may be challenged.
I
in
actually
question.
Could have gotten that one right.
All right, cool.
Nice.
All right, here we go. In Fables number 136,
okay. We
see blank picking her knights like the king, like King Arthur of Camelot. Who is it? Is it A, the Lady of the Lake, B, Rose Red, or is it C, William Defoe? So it's either A,
okay.
Don't pick A,
okay.
Or it's B, Rose
okay.
Red.
It's B, Rose Red.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Last question. Don't get cocky now. Here we go. In Savage Wolverine number 13, Wolverine cuts his blank off. Is it A, his own face? Is it B, Sabretooth's head? Or is it C, his patch? So it's either A, his own face... which is what happened,
hey,
or it's
hey.
B, Sabretooth's head.
This is embarrassing, like when you're playing against a kid in a game and you let them win.
Yeah.
So who wants this? Who
no, you keep it.
Right.
You came up
buy
here,
comics,
you deserve it.
Buy comics, read them, and then you can
good
come
job.
Back.
Pick up Lock and Key.
Pick up Lock and Key.
Sylvia, just so you know, no, that's your money. I wasn't treating you like a kid. I do that with everybody who comes up.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I don't want to have someone who's brave enough to come up there and be like, no, you got it wrong. Go back. Who else? You know what I mean? All right.
We should try that sometime.
Yeah. Pete, I'm going to be honest. When you're not here, I don't give clues.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fucked up, man.
I know.
Guys, we all know tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to a DC book.
Ooh.
100 Bullets. Brother Lano number 7. I love 100 Bullets. I'm glad it's continuing. And
nice.
I'm excited for the next issue.
Cool.
I'm also looking forward to a DC book, Swamp Thing number 27.
Yeah. How about that, guys? We're saving DC.
We're saving DC, guys. Well, I'm also looking forward to Afterlife with Archie number 3, which is fantastic. If you're not reading that, check that out.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's a zombie series, but set in Riverdale.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really actually dark. And
is it published by Harvey?
It's Archie. Published by Archie.
Archie, sorry. Yeah. Archie. Is
that yes,
who's
published
Harvey?
By Archie.
Do you know Harvey?
Isn't Harvey Comics the publisher of Archie?
No, they publish like...
Casper,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
Little Spicy or Little Devil or whatever. What's his name?
Little Spicy.
So wait, Archie owns the publishing company? He runs it?
Yeah.
Well,
he grew up, spoiler.
Archie grew up.
Ran a comic book company.
He's a publishing mogul.
People are going to want to know about this really long time when two girls fought over me.
Real self
promoting
himself, yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Star Trek Con number 4 is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, my.
You read the first issue and you liked it, right?
Yeah, I did like it.
Yeah, it's great. Weirdly, so it's filling in a point where Khan in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Sorry.
Shut up. It's connecting the old Khan, the old Ricardo Montalban Khan, with Benedict Cumberbatch Khan and explaining how one changed it to the other.
Oh, what a thing we need.
It's totally not a thing we need at all, but it's a great story and it. You get to see the eugenics wars, and it's political, and it's exciting, and it's well-drawn and well-written. I'm totally blown away by how good this comic is.
I want to write a one-page comic where it's Hollywood executives being like, should we have Ricardo Montalban or get, like, a younger actor to do it? And they're like, let's get a younger actor. End.
Falls asleep on desk.
Yeah. Boom. That's the real story.
There you go. Anyway, it's very good. Pick it up. Bob, what are you looking forward to?
Star Wars number 13 by Brian Wood. He's managed to pull off the oxymoron. He's writing a good Star Wars comic.
Yeah.
And it takes place in between episodes 4 and 5. So it's the original cast.
Yeah.
And it's drawn on paper so that they can make them look like they haven't age since 1980.
I've only seen episodes 1 and 3. What were the characters in 4, 5, 6?
Oh, man. That was awesome. Sorry for you guys listening at home. That was really freaky and unbelievable.
Bob just lost his mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just turned into a Gungan for a second.
Those guys I know because I saw episode 1.
I don't know. I think that... I was really happy to hear that Marvel is incorporating Star Wars comics into their line, but the only thing that makes me worry is maybe that this series will end. But Brian Wood also writes for Marvel, so hopefully he'll bring him along for the ride.
Yeah,
cool. All right, plug some of your stuff as well. What should people check out?
Yes. If you like my views on comic books, you can follow me on Twitter. At Bob Wallace, BOBWALLES, and stay tuned to themoonshow.com for some probably videos and some fun events that we're going to be doing this year.
Cool.
Great show.
All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, David Gallagher and Kevin Colden are going to be here, two of our favorite guests on the show.
Very good. They have a new book that's awesome. It sounds awesome. Yeah.
All right, there you go. So they're going to talk about that and all the other projects they've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the show.
Thank you.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for real, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, a couple people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Bob for being on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
We want to thank Pete here at Fontanus for running tech tonight and being pretty awesome.
Woo-hoo!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 a.m. No, 7 p.m. Don't come at 7 a.m. We're here at 7 p.m.
I'll show's be here free. At 7 a.m. I'll be here. I'll come out.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.